This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Thursday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Kim Baker from Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to a special episode of the Kim Baker Show on Horses in the Morning and the Horse Radio Network for September 25th, episode 1006. This episode is brought to you by BioStar US. Good morning, Horse World.
Where are we going today, Mr. Peabody?
And I'm feeling good.
Welcome to the special monthly Kim Baker episode on Horses in the Morning, where our clever co-hosts explore the amazing connection between horses, animals, and humans.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Horses in the Morning on this Thursday morning. And, of course, it is the Kim Baker episode, which we started last month. We had our first one. And Kim's joining us on the fourth Thursday of every month. Welcome back, Kim.
Thanks, Glenn, for having me. Really appreciate it. So we are going to get started with the medicine cards, but I think Jennifer's going to talk first.
Yes, we're going to find out from Jennifer what is going on today's show.
On today's Kim Baker Show, brought to you by BioStar, we will start out with the much-anticipated look into Edward's inner thoughts, with our first live reading here on the show of Jamie's horse, Edward. And then coming up next will be Lizzie Meyer talking about healing the whole horse, of course. And then wrapping up the day, Nancy Zydonis, and I apologize, Nancy, for messing up your name, will provide an introduction to acupressure. That's going to be a fun conversation, so stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. So how are things out in Colorado?
Things are good, Glenn. The weather is gorgeous. We're slipping into fall. The trees are starting to change, and it is just beautiful.
Have you gotten any riding in since I talked to you last?
Oh, yeah. Yep. I used to ride 6 days a week, which was great. I don't quite have the time for that anymore, so I'm down to about two to three times a week, which is unfortunate, but someday we'll get back to 6 days a week. But at that time, I was riding anywhere from 5 to 10 horses a day, too. So maybe it's good that I'm not riding as much. So, Glenn, go ahead.
I was just going to say, what kind of riding do you do? Do you ride in the mountains, or do you do trail riding?
I do all kinds of riding. So I trail ride. Down here on the plains. I also trail ride in the mountains, and I do competitive riding as well. I have done trail, native costume, because my horses are Arabians, which is a really fun class to do, western pleasure, and reining. And I'm also starting to get into ranch versatility, so I've been training my six-year-old on cows and how
oh, cool.
to not... Yeah. How
did you go get cows?
An Arabian doing cows?
They're both Arabians.
That's funny. And how's that working?
Well, Glenn, there are stigma for Arabs, but, you know, they're just super smart and they're very sensitive. And if you know how to work with them, then it makes all the difference in the world. Arabs are amazing because they're extremely loyal. So if you look at the history of the Bedouins, they would actually live in the tents with the people. And when you would go to shop for a horse, they would bring you over to the tent, and the horse would be in the tent, and then they would slowly raise the flap. So all you would see were the feet. And if you liked what you saw, then they would raise the flap a little bit more, up to the knees and the hocks. And if you liked what you saw, then they would raise the flap up to the shoulder level. And if you still liked what you saw, then they would keep going. That way you weren't blinded by the overall beauty of the horse, but you could look at how the horse was put together to see if you really liked what you wanted. Pretty cool, huh?
Oh, that's funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Now,
yep,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, you had a question.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I didn't know that at all. But I know you're out in Colorado. Have you ever done endurance riding then out there?
I haven't done endurance riding, no. I have lots of friends that do, though. And I've done some competitive trail rides where, you know, they're anywhere from 6 to 8 miles, but not the 25 or 50 or 100 milers. That's, I don't know. You know, I love going and riding in the mountains. My horse, Knight, we did that a lot and loved it, especially in the fall and seeing the colors and stuff. But I don't know. I just didn't really have the time, I guess, to get into endurance and nor train my body to be on a horse for 50 miles.
Yeah, exactly.
So I applaud the endurance riders that do that because that it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, and it is very time-consuming. I think that what you said there is so true. It's just time-consuming. So you have to be able to devote that time to it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's like you're training your own body, right, to be on the horse, but you also got to train the horse, too, so that they're in condition. I mean, you can't just take your pasture ornament and expect, you know, go for 50 miles. That's not going to go over very well. You're going to have a very sick and injured horse.
You will have a horse that will be wanting to talk to you, and we're going to do that a little bit later. Jamie's going to be checking in with us. We're going to realize we're making her get up on her day off. So
I know.
But make this good. I'll hear about it if you don't. All right, Kim, no pressure. But
I was going to say, I think she's going to enjoy it. So.
Good. Well, we have a couple things to get to before we talk to Jamie and do the first reading here on the show. And in future months, I wanted to mention this too, we will be getting our listeners involved, and we'll be doing a reading with the listeners' horses down the line. And we'll talk about, how we can get that accomplished. I've already had about 4 or 5 people contact me after we mentioned it yesterday on the show. So I don't think we're going to have any lack of people wanting to participate.
That's awesome. Well, what I love to do is talk to animals and help people improve their relationship with their animals.
Very good. But first, that's your cue.
Oh, well, but first.
I know it's early in Colorado.
I'm thinking, wait for it, but first what? Okay. First, we're going to pull the medicine cards. Now, just as a reminder, we did it last month. These are animal tarot cards. Basically, they're based on Native American tribes, and I've already pulled a card because I ask, what is the general message that we all need to hear today? And I pulled the hawk card, and I pulled it upside down. So there is a difference between the card being right side up and the card being upside down. And hawk represents messenger. So I'm going to give you just a little bit of what right side up is, and then I'm going to read to you what upside down means. So if hawk is circled into your card spread today, you are to be aware of signals in your life. So notice and receive them. Hawk may be teaching you to grab an opportunity coming your way. On the other hand, hawk may be bringing you the message that you should circle over your life and examine it from a higher perspective. From this vantage point, you may be able to discern the hazards which bar you from freedom of flight. Remember, hawk has a keen eye and a bold heart. For hawk flies close to the light of grandfather's sun. Now, since I pulled it in reverse, this is what it means. It may be because you have shut down your powers of observation on some level. If something in your life has become too painful to feel, too unbelievable to hear, or too dark to see, it is time to examine the point at which you choose to let yourself become emotionally involved and to no longer be the observer. When you allow your emotions to override your perceptions, the message from hawk cannot penetrate the chaos and confusion. At this point, you are asked to be mindful of the honest observer's neutral position, which allows the message to be intuitively and clearly understood without emotion coloring its true meaning. Emotional coloring is a tendency of hawk medicine people when they are off balance. Their emotions cloud their vision and lead to a crash landing. The ego can clip the wings and leave hawk grounded. Also, if hawk believes that those who cannot fly the same way, he or she does have weaker perceptions. The winged messenger has not understood his or her own medicine. Freedom of flight is a privilege, and being a messenger is an honor. The responsibility for delivery of the message is up to you. Take your flight and forget about interpreting the omen your own way. Let the receiver decide what the message means. After all, unless it was sent specifically for you, you would be tampering. So Hawk on the Contrary teaches you to open up the powers of observation, not to tell others how to think or behave. Take your own emotional baggage before you begin receiving opens. Take care of your own emotional baggage before you begin receiving omens, visions, or messages. And to remember that all gifts are equal in the eyes of Great Spirit. That's quite a mouthful. What do you? You're quiet.
Yeah,
then.
I was just thinking about what it said. Just that is quite a mouthful. I was just thinking about what it said. I don't really have much to add.
Basically, just don't let your emotions run away with you. And I think that for all of us.
And I'm good at that. I'm really good at that. I'm qualified there.
We all have our own stuff to work on, right? And
right.
if we're working on our own stuff, then we're on the right path in some way, shape, or form. We may not think it, but at least we're working on our own stuff. And to that, working on our own stuff. Here's a little inspirational message. This is called The Daily Book of Positive Quotations. It's by Linda Picone, called A Leap in the Dark. All growth is a leap in the dark, a spontaneous, unpremeditated act without benefit of experience. And that's by Henry Miller.
Now, that one hits home because I've always been one that wanted to be first at everything. I never wanted to be the second. So everything I've done has been a leap in the dark. I really thought at times, though, I have to tell you, Kim, that I should have had a flashlight with some of them because it would have saved a lot of problems. So.
Well, I hear you there, and I think a leap in the dark or a leap of faith, you know, when things are really tough, and I know that for a lot of people things have been really tough the last couple of years. I mean, it's been unbelievable, some of the stuff that people have been going through. And it's tough that, you know, to have that continued faith, right, that things will get better and that things will work out. And Jen brings up an example.
And it's really tough because with that leap of faith, because usually when it's right about to work out is when it's the worst, is when it's the lowest, when it seems like it's just about to fail, and then it turns the corner. And that's true in business and relationships and everything else.
Exactly.
It's tough to have the faith to get through that low part to get to the high part.
Exactly, and I think there's a saying for that, right? It's always darkest right before the dawn. I mean, which is true.
Yep.
It is. It is darkest before. It's also the coldest right before dawn too. A little weather science for you there.
You know, I love Jennifer typed in here. She said that this is what she got out of that inspirational message. She said, "So when your horse suddenly jumps out from under you, that's growth."
You know what, though, Jen? You're right. It is, right? I mean, horses, you learn something from your horse I do, anyway. Every time you interact with them, they're always teaching you. And every horse that I get to work with, I learn something from them. So, absolutely. And Jen, that's a good point, because Arabs are that way. They are so quick and so fast that back at the beginning when I first had Knight, whenever I came off with him, that was what happened, is that he went one direction and I went the other direction. So it's not like he bugged me off or anything like that. It's just they're so quick and they just come out from underneath you.
That's right.
You always end up sitting on your butt on the ground when that happens.
Yes.
Sorry, one more thing. You got an adoptable horse, and then Jamie's on here too. We can get to the first reading here on the show.
All right. Yes. So if you are around the Colorado area and you're looking for a nice two-year-old, Leroy is available. He is a colt that stands 14 hands. He has started under saddle and is coming along nicely. He is very laid back and easy to get along with. Leroy will make just about anyone a very nice horse. He is up to date on his vaccinations and warming. He's available at the Dumb Friendly Harmony Equine Center, which is open to the public Friday through Sunday from 11 to 3, except for major holidays, which is in Franktown, Colorado. You can learn more about adoption at ddfl.org. And that web address again is ddfl, as in Denver Dumb Friends League, .org. And Leroy is a bay. He's a beautiful, I would say, not quite a blood bay, but your typical nice golden reddish brown, and he's got a little white star on his forehead, and he's got two hind white feet that come up to about the fetlock.
Oh, he's cute.
He is really cute. And he is, yeah, he's on the Facebook page. So if you want to see what he looks like, you can go to the Kim Baker Show, and he's right there, and he's got an adorable little face. He looks like he's really smart.
Very good. Well, let's get to our first reading that we're going to do here on the show. We'll be doing this. We'll be doing one a month at the beginning of Kim Baker's episode on the fourth Thursday of every month, and we'll get our listeners involved. But we thought it would be fun to bring Jamie into the conversation and have her wake up early. We just did it to torture her, actually. but, you know, who needs more help understanding their horses than Jamie? Because she's always had, you know, rescue horses and ones that have been a little bit challenging and somewhat difficult, some of them. So we thought it would be perfect to bring her in. So good morning, Jamie.
Good morning. I feel like I'm getting set up for something here. Glenn, yes, I do need all the help I can. That is true. I was going to argue with you for a second, but I can't.
No, everybody's heard your stories. There's no arguing.
Well, Kim,
good morning,
thank you,
Jamie.
So much. Yeah, good morning. Thank you so much for choosing me to do this reading with, and I'm excited about it. I'm a little nervous, not going to lie, because who knows. Like
I understand.
That. You know, I guess our listeners are listening because they want to know if they should volunteer for this. And I want to, I'm curious to know if my horse is going to go, yeah, I really don't like her. Not much. Really, she's kind of unlikable.
You know, that's a fear of almost everybody, and that rarely happens. Rarely happens. Because the people that come to an animal communicator are not the ones that are, you know, beating the crap out of their animals, to be perfectly honest. They love their animals, and they're, you know, they want to know what's going on with them. And so I've never really had that happen. So no worries there, Jamie. Edward has a lot to say. He is very sweet, but I will tell you that the first thing that I picked up with him was that, like you had mentioned, his nervousness. He was very itchy, ticky. I mean, just he's like this ball of energy that's like ready to explode. I'm sure that sounds familiar, right?
Yes, it does.
So the first question that I ask any horse, and you had given me some questions as well, is are they in any pain? And I ask any animal that. And I think this is going to be very interesting as to why he's acting the way he's acting. So the first thing I picked up was that there's a possibility he may have ulcers. He's got a lot of stuff going on in the GI tract, so that's where the base of the horse's immune system is. And he could definitely benefit from some probiotics. When was the last time that you had his teeth bloated?
About 9 months ago.
Okay. And does he get chiropractic adjustments by any chance?
No, he's never had one of those.
Okay. So he would definitely benefit from having his teeth checked again. And what you're going to look for if he, and I've learned this from the dentist, is if you look at the incisors, and if he has, especially on the back ones at the top, if he's got any hooks, meaning that, like, you know, the tooth kind of comes down to a sharp point. It doesn't even have to be a sharp point, but it's just that the teeth, they should be level, relatively, and even. And if he's got a little, and I mean, it's obvious if it's a hook, then that means that the corresponding opposite side in the molars, there's something going on in there. And depending on how sensitive the horses are, and he's pretty sensitive, it can be just this tiny little thing that will upset them, and then it throws the whole body off. I mean, I have found over the years of working with these guys and the dentists and the chiropractors and the other practitioners that I work with that if the teeth aren't right, then nothing else in the horse is right. So you might just want to take a look at that. The good news is his tack fits. So, woohoo, good for you.
All right.
And the other good news is he does trust you. So I know that that was a question for you, but the other thing as to why he's kind of like outside of his body almost is there is a little bone inside the head that's basically like their third eye area, but deep, you know, set in between the eyes. Basically, if you were to get a hold of a horse skull and you lifted the top part up and flipped it over, you would see a beautiful shaped butterfly bone, and it's called the sphenoid. And the sphenoid directly connects with the sacrum. And if either one of them is out, then the horse's sense of self is no longer there, and they can't really stay grounded. And they tend to be nervous, ticky, jumpy, spooky. Sound familiar?
Yes. I'm writing down everything you're saying.
So if you want, because I'm a certified equine cranial sacral therapist, and cranial sacral therapy, basically all the bones in the body move in a particular way, like tides of the ocean. And there's three rhythms in the body. There's the heartbeat, the breath, and the cranial sacral rhythm, which is the spinal canal filling and receding, much, again, like the tides of the ocean. So if you want, I can fix his sphenoid bone right now, or actually, I can do it once the show's over. How about that? And that should
that
make
would
a
be,
huge difference.
That would be fantastic. I don't understand how you can do that, but that's why you do what you do.
Yeah, so again, it's just it's an energetic connection. So it's kind of like chiropractic, but we don't do a physical manipulation of the bones. We energetically feel for the way the bones are moving, and then we ask them to reset. And I know how that feels when they're in harmony, and then the horse shows me when it's in disharmony. And so basically, the bone moves kind of in a gentle rocking motion, like forward and back, and when it's in disharmony like his is right now, it's like slamming down forward, so he has a bit of a headache.
Okay.
Okay? Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see. What else? Oh, the other thing is that, like, he's just not connected. So I look at the meridian lines as well, and we're going to talk about this with acupressure with Nancy. And so the horse connects down through the ground through all four legs, and then there's a vertical line that goes from the chest to the butt that is an energetic line as well, and none of those are really flowing. So again, with your permission, I can open those up and get those flowing. So basically, he is more grounded, because right now he's just kind of flying around in like the stratosphere, and that's why he's so jumpy and so nervous. And I know that this is, like, really getting out there for some people. But, again, basically what we're going to see is after this work, you know, if we could do a follow-up or something, and Jamie, you can let me know how Edward is doing.
Okay.
And
okay.
Let the listeners know how Edward is doing. I think we're going to see a big shift. And the next thing is, and our first guest that we're going to talk with, Lizzie Meyer, I work with her as well. She is also an intuitive, but she comes up with a nutrition program for the horses, and it may be of benefit to have a consult with her, especially for getting his immune system back in place and making sure that he's got the right probiotics, you know, in his gut, and just really kind of getting him more mellow and relaxed and calmed down.
Okay.
So do you have, and I was going to give you a couple other suggestions. So what you can do right now, today, or whenever, when you're riding him, or you said that sometimes he gets to the point where he just can't take anymore and you just have to completely stop. So you can hop off, teach him to lower his head, because we all know that when a horse's head is down, they're calm. And then you can also rub right underneath his eyes. There's a ganglion of nerves there. And you're going to go really, really soft and gentle and really slow and just start exuding calm energy to him. And I want you to start taking nice, deep breaths and just letting them out slowly and continue to do that till he starts to calm down.
Okay. Okay.
Who's going to do that with her before she does it with him? That's my question.
So Jamie, before you do that, you can stand next to him, or you can stand outside of his stall pen or wherever you keep him. take in 3 deep breaths in through your nose, let it out through your mouth, and just let go of all expectations. And just relax and just be calm. And just open your heart, you know, and just say, Edward, I love you, and I'm here to help you, and I don't have any expectations. Let go of your agenda, stuff like that. So,
okay.
A couple other things. So, he does trust you. He does enjoy showing. We just need to get all this other stuff under control, and I think you're going to have a completely different horse.
Okay.
So, do you have any last-minute questions for him?
I'm writing on this down. So, yeah, I guess, I mean, I wanted to know, you know, the 12-year-old girl in me comes out and goes, does he love me? And does he like living here? And does he like, you know, those kind of things. And I wanted to know if he liked his job. So for you guys, I sent Kim a picture and basically 3 or 4 things that I really am having troubles with. And obviously, you know, getting Edward to just calm down and to center himself and stop being scared of everything. He's scared of everything. So we've got those covered after the show. You're going to help me, and I'll put that to the test for sure, because this weekend he's doing a cross-country schooling at a new place that he's never been after a long trailer ride. So it's going to be – I'm looking forward to it, to see, like, the differences in him after this is all done. Teeth checked, fits, and I guess, you know – The life of a racehorse, I just wanted some insight because he raced Kim for a really long time. He raced up until he was 8 years old, and I got him off the track, straight off the track. So I was just curious if there was any residual track stuff that I can get him to kind of let go of. Or have you...
It's his immune system. That's where the ulcers came from, is being on the track.
Okay.
You his get... immune yep, system. You get the immune system, you get those ulcers taken care of, and we'll all fix his sphenoid and do some little body work on him and stuff, and that'll make a difference as well. Now, the immune system's going to take a while, so you got to be patient with that. Nothing
okay.
with horses happens overnight. We all know that. Or we think we do, but sometimes we forget because we want instant gratification. Well, it doesn't work with the horses, so you got to be patient. And don't expect him to be 100% different horse for this weekend either. I mean, he will be better, but he's not going to be 100% because we're not going to
okay.
fix the ulcers by this weekend.
Okay, sounds good.
And,
well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. There's and I'll tell you the recipe for fixing the ulcers is go get whole leaf aloe vera juice and
okay.
give him 2 ounces. He could probably do 2 ounces in the morning and 2 ounces at night. Just pour it over his feed. And let's see, how long does he need it for? He needs it for 10 days.
That I can do, for sure,
yep.
starting tonight.
Yep, it's pretty easy. The bottle's like, less, I don't know, it's 10 bucks here, so I don't know. Are you in Florida?
I am in Arizona.
Oh, that's right, you're in Arizona, yep. Oh, yeah, I lived in Tucson for a while. So, yeah, it's a very inexpensive way to fix the ulcers.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
I didn't know
thank you
aloe vera
so much.
Did that. You know,
I've heard of that.
I
just forgot it. Yeah.
Yeah, we use aloe
yep.
vera for everything else. We have about 20 aloe vera plants here. I could squeeze you some juice, Jane.
Whole leaves, Glenn. Whole leaves.
Okay, well, these are whole leaves. I'll just squeeze the whole leaf for you.
Thanks, buddy.
No problem. Thank you, Jamie, for joining us. We really appreciate it, and good luck with Edward.
Thanks. I'm going to go give him a carrot, and then I'm going back to bed.
All right.
Sounds
thanks,
good.
Kim.
Thanks, Jamie. Thanks, Edward.
All right. Bye.
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 That's funny. Well, that was fun. You know, it was interesting hearing that because I know Edward just from talking to Jamie every day here on the show. So, and I think the listeners do too. So I that was a good one to start with because all the listeners are going, yep, that's right. we all know
yeah,
what he's been through with Edward.
I don't know Edward. So this was my first time seeing a picture of him and meeting him. And and oftentimes that's what happens, right? If a horse is in pain or something's going on internally, we're not seeing their true self. We're seeing them under high stress. And so when we remove that stress, then they become a, they become their true self.
Yeah, and they do say that 80-90% of racehorses have ulcers and have stomach issues that they have to deal with, and they do become different horses after it's dealt with. I didn't know about the aloe vera.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
And I've used it on my own horse, my own horses, so I know it works.
Are there any negatives to, like, aloe vera juice like that?
Not that I'm aware of. I suppose.
I know they put it
in
human stuff, too. I mean, they use it with humans, too.
I suppose, like anything, I mean, if you're just, like, sucking down the bottle, that's probably,
yeah, right.
probably not going to be the best for you long term.
Sure.
But, I mean, we're talking, like, 2 ounces, you know, so it's not, I haven't seen any side effects. Lizzie might be able to answer that question a little bit better.
Huh, interesting. Well, we're waiting for Lizzie Meyer to call in of Whole Horse Consulting. And while we're doing that, why don't we hear from a BioStar? You want to do that next?
That sounds great.
All right. So this is Tigger from BioStar, who's the one who started BioStar. And what we're doing is every month we're taking listener questions on nutrition and health, whether it's any animals, really. And today we were talking about dogs and cats. So let's take a listen.
Hey, Tigger, how you doing today?
Hi, Kim. So we have another listener question for our Ask the Expert segment with Tigger, and this comes from Tom, and he wants to know, what is the rotational diet for dogs? I've never even heard of it, so enlighten us.
Well, it's a relatively new concept in trying to deal with things like picky eater syndrome, food allergies in dogs. And what vets and scientists are discovering is that when we feed the same food day in, day out, month in, month out, year in, year out, the body does develop or can develop food allergies to it.
Okay.
Dogs can also get very picky. You know, they're used to eating one food, and then you offer them something else, and they go, no. So the rotational diet is to use different proteins and different other supportive foods. So just for example, let's say that you feed your dog a premium brand with chicken and rice, and maybe some other, fruits and vegetables in it. On a rotation diet, you might feed that for a month or 2 months, and then you would switch to maybe a beef and venison with sweet potato. And maybe it has different vegetables and fruits in it. And then 2 or 3 months later, maybe you go to fish. So that's really the concept, is that you just keep changing the proteins that the dogs get. Because when you think of their wild and the wolves, they didn't eat buffalo every single day.
True.
They ate what they could get. And
right.
They ate what was available. So in feeding our dogs this, very sort of restricted, if you will, diet, we've increased the food allergies exponentially. We've increased picky eater syndrome. Now, the dogs that already have the sensitive stomachs, and there's plenty of them out there, you do have to make your changeover slowly.
Okay.
I have 5 Australian Shepherds, and they all have rock guts, and they have never to have any kind of gradual switchover. But ever since they were puppies, I've given them different foods. Sometimes it's cooked. Sometimes it's raw, with a kibble, with all different kinds of kibble. I could probably write a book on all the kibble that I've used, because I don't stay within one company. I really switch up companies a lot, formulas for the dogs.
Okay. So one question I have, Tigger, is this totally flies in the face of kind of traditional training that, if you changed your dog's diet frequently, then you would actually create a picky eater. So this is saying the opposite.
It is, because if you can introduce a dog to a variety of foods in a fairly constant way, then they don't get picky. They go, oh, that's interesting. Or, oh, that's interesting. Or, oh, I wonder what she's got now.
Oh,
but when they're always fed the same thing, then they get more resistant to something new.
So would the same be true for cats? Because if you look at their wild ancestors, they don't eat the same thing every day.
No. And, well, not be the cat expert, because cats are basically aliens from another planet.
I agree. I'm with you. Right there. We own one of those, too. It's sitting under my feet at this very moment.
But I mean, with the cats that I have, I rotate their food a lot.
Yeah, our cat would, like, one stinky can of cat food rotated to another stinky can of cat food about every 10 minutes. He thinks that dry cat food's for the birds.
Well, and you know what? The strange thing is that he's actually right. For cats, wet food is much closer to how they would eat in the wild, because they would be eating animals with blood and tissue, and it's a moist, better food than dry kibble, which, you know, no self-respecting tiger would eat.
But you know what? You know what? You know how we say horses get food aggressive? And, you know, there are, like my pony, when you have treats around of any kind. Well, our cat's the same way. It's like you cannot give him canned all the time. He just gets crazy when it comes time for food. He'll bite your hand off. It's like, that's why his name is the Beast, by the way.
Oh.
And we have to rotate dry in just to keep them humble. See, that's more of an emotional thing, I think.
Yes, that's not a health thing.
No.
And also, cats like to eat sort of little meals throughout the day. They're more, in that way, they're sort of more like grazers.
Well, you know, we thought he would get too fat doing that, and so we would limit him to 3 meals a day. And now we have found he's less of a pain in the you-know-what when we leave him with food all the time, and he hasn't gotten fat. So it's like, okay, just leave him with food all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And that's actually true, Glenn, because people have that same fear with horses. Oh, if I give my horse 24/7 access to hay, they're going to get fat. Well, maybe in the beginning they overgorge themselves a little bit, but once they realize the food isn't going away and that it's always going to be there, they totally regulate themselves like the wild horses do, and they eat 20 hours out of the day.
Because the body thinks it's going to go into starvation mode. And what happens with the horses that don't have access to hay or forage 24/7 is when they go without for over 4 hours, their body starts hanging on to fat and elevating blood sugar. It's like, oh, my God, I'm going to be deprived. I got to hang on.
Right.
So even with metabolic horses, they have got to eat 20 hours a day. It's a necessity. I just think that we need to really get a little bit out of our, you know, box about what good things dogs can eat. And, you know, my dogs eat peaches and carrots and celery. And, I mean, they're not eating, you know, a bowl full. But if I'm cutting up stuff at the sink, I'll throw them some carrots. And, I mean, they basically eat anything. I think that's better for them.
I got to tell you guys, it's so funny that we were having this conversation at this exact time, because in my closet, we get all these companies that send us horse treats and stuff, and we send them out usually as gift prizes and stuff. And I keep them in my closet in the studio here. Well, I just looked over, and our greyhound does this every time. There's about 15 wrappers of all the horse treats that are now on the floor, and my dog is looking very, very happy. So that happened right as you were talking about this. I looked over and went, oh, you got to be kidding me. Not again. Every time.
Self-imposed rotational diet, Glenn.
That's right. She's going to do her own rotational diet. Some of it was joint supplements, so that greyhound will be running real good.
Whoa!
Just a little bit. It was just one cookie. But she'll be running real good by the end of the day. She'll be feeling good. What website? Where can they find all of your terrific products with all of your knowledge backing it up?
www.biostarus.com.
And that was BioStar. It was Tigger there. She's joining us once a month here on the Horses in the Morning show on the Kim Baker episode to chat with us and to answer listener questions. Well, Kim, coming up now, we have our next guest. Why don't you introduce her?
We do. We have Ms. Lizzie Meyer. She is the CEO of Whole Horse Consulting, LLC. She obtained her BA in biology in 2003 from the Sweetbriar College in Virginia. Lizzie teaches classes on holistic and energetic horse care as well as horse first aid. Her intention is to educate humans and help horses to live a balanced and low-stress life. Oh, God, we all could use that. Horses are her ultimate teachers and have guided her to see from their perspective and therefore teach truly from the horse's mouth. They have educated her about what aspects of their care and environment create whole horse wellness and soundness. You can find out more information at her website, which is wholehorseconsulting.com. Lizzie, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim.
And it's a pleasure to speak with you again. I have been telling people, in fact, I spoke with Jamie, and she has an off-the-track thoroughbred, and I think she might be following up with you. So Lizzie has been a huge help to me and my horses in making sure that they are on the right diet, and we've got them dialed in correctly so that they are happy and stress-free. And Lizzie has plenty of stories about helping horses and getting them stress-free and healing them. So and then one of your own horses too, right, Gaia?
Yes. I've had lots of personal experiences with my own herd, and they've given me some pretty interesting cases to work with that were not they were not able to be helped with conventional means. Either there were no options to do that, or they were not responding to those options. I was actually thinking of, you had mentioned Gaia, and she is one story, but her story doesn't embody the entire concept of whole horse consulting. And I'd be willing to share another story about Maestro. And he is more of a whole picture the more I thought about this. He was actually a gift horse to me. He was imported from England, actually, and he was purchased to be a high-level dressage horse, very well-bred, and he got off the plane, and within a few months, he was very lame, and people could not figure out what was going on with him. He was going to the best veterinary hospitals for diagnostics, and it was determined that he had hoof pain in both front feet, and then he had incredibly bad hocks, and then he had a he actually had ring bone, which is a pastern arthritis in the left hind leg.
Right.
And his only possibility for soundness was actually a surgery to put a plate and screws into that joint. Yeah, to keep it stabilized and pain free, and it was considered to be more of a salvage procedure, but his owner was told that he could be ridden, you know, if this healed well. So I met Maestro years ago, and he really was incredibly lame and very unhappy in his home. His owner had really, I mean, she had done a whole food diet. She had done everything: acupuncture, chiropractic, massage therapy, animal communication. She had tried barefoot, tried shoes. She'd done injections all over his body. And what we were running into, it was pretty intense, because he would be sound for a little while and then just go off the cliff and be incredibly crippled. And when I saw him, he was actually dangling his right front leg, because the problem was that he was compensating for the surgery that had happened in the left hind leg. And horses compensate in diagonal pairs, so the left hind and the right front and everything in between was very out of balance. So he had, the surgery site had healed, and the owner had done all the proper rehabilitation techniques, but the rest of the horse was falling apart. And it was very frustrating for her, and I completely understand that. But the way that this turned out was pretty amazing, because she decided just to give him to me with my background of doing horse rehabilitation. And that horse has been my best teacher, and ironically his name is Maestro, which is teacher in Spanish. But he actually, I remember when he was incredibly lame and non-weight-bearing on his right front leg for some reason, the vets had come out and they were giving me different diagnoses, and they were not clear on what to do other than some bute, anti-inflammatory. And Maestro was just not, he just, none of that ever really helped him for more than a few hours. So I decided to learn how to, trim his feet. And I'm not a hoof trimmer. I've only done my own horses. So I'm trimming his feet. I'm applying different therapeutic pads to his feet that I've cut to size. I'm duct taping them onto different parts of his feet, trying to relieve the pain. And this horse would actually tear the pads off with his teeth and show me if we got it right or if we didn't get it right. And he'd walk away sound or even more lame. And he did this for quite some time. And I was using comfrey poultices on his leg. I was so focused on this right front leg that I wasn't seeing the whole horse. And I had to step back, because all of my sort of temporary techniques were helping, but emotionally he was so sad, he was so angry, he was so frustrated. And these are all feelings that I'm getting from him as an empathetic person. And he was still in a dressage barn. And his owner, who loved him very much, still had this expectation that this horse would one day heal and be a dressage horse, as he was bred to be, as he was purchased to be. And Maestro was, his energy was just falling. His attitude, he was becoming depressed.
Okay.
And I, at that point, had decided to go talk to some vets that had done the surgery and really think about, what am I taking on? What are the facts behind this? What is the actual prognosis? So after that conversation with one of the top surgeons in Texas, he basically said, good luck. This horse is crippled. Truly, he's got so many things going on. He will most likely stay crippled for forever. And he's a young horse. He's currently 11. Yeah, so I was not feeling good about this, but Maestro, he had me by my heart, essentially. I felt such a connection to him, and he was by far my most difficult teacher to this day. And at that point, I ended up in an equine-assisted therapy practice, and I had an opportunity to move into Houston and take Maestro with me, and he was going to be boarded at that facility in the pasture with a herd, and he was going to get to do a new job, lame or not. And I had decided, we aren't going to do the conventional therapies. I'm not going to worry about how lame he is every day. I'm going to let this horse heal. I'm going to believe that he can heal. And so we have all these kids and all these clients coming in that know nothing about horses, and all they can see is how beautiful and how powerful and how regal this horse is. They fell in love with his heart and who he was as a horse. they didn't have an eye for soundness. They're not looking for compensation. They're not looking for a head bob every time he trots.
Right.
All they could see was the good in the horse. And Maestro is able to take on a lead horse position within the herd, and he did have good days and bad days, but he was finally happy, and he was living a horse's life, a natural horse life. And his diet consisted, you know, of whole oats and beet pulp and alfalfa and whole food, as well as homeopathy and herbs. And, you know, I had to learn from Maestro what is working for him. And he would show me, you know, if he started becoming lame, what to do for him. And then he was doing so well. And then all of a sudden, I was leading him through a muddy gateway. And I heard, clear as day, I've never heard this from a horse, get this thing out of my leg. And he was referring to the plate and the screws in his left hind pastern. And I remember looking back, and I mean, I've never heard an animal speak, you know, like that. Intuitively, I get a sense and a knowing, but never actual words. And I asked him, is this what you want? And it was very clear that's what he wanted. So I had vets come out and x-ray it and examine the plate to see, you know, why is this suddenly a problem? It's been in his leg around 4 years or so.
Okay.
And it turns out some of the screws are too long. Some are a little bit loose. The plate could have been shifting, creating pain, which is
right.
Why he was lame again in that leg and lame in his whole body. It was just all starting. So at that point, I had to do research, and I sent the x-rays to the top surgeons in Texas. I had consultations with them. I ended up talking to a surgeon at Texas A&M who had actually designed this whole plate for this purpose. And after learning the process of removing the plate, which would involve cutting away a lot of bone and soft tissue and creating a tremendous divot in the bone, basically, my mind said, this is not worth it. But if Maestro really wants this, then I will do it. Because at this point, there's nothing to lose. This horse is crippled. So I remember sitting there in the pasture telling Maestro his options, that I'd be willing to do this, but here's how it looks. Here's what the procedure would be like. Here's what the rest and the rehab would be like, versus if he could show me another option. And I'm a vet technician. I have a scientific mind, and I really could not see another option. I saw a sad, lame horse in a lot of pain. And drugs really didn't help. Homeopathy didn't. Nothing was helping. My normal energy work, my hands-on healing work, nothing was helping because I was in my head. I was questioning his ability to be a sound horse.
Okay.
So I remember that night, I was so upset. I was just wondering if he needed to be put down. I didn't want to put him through all of this surgery, and it was truly one of the hardest nights of my life. And I remembered visualizing, what if this horse was completely sound? What if his leg was completely healed? The plate was no issue. The screws are no issue. His body's dealt with that. Everything is completely fine. What if I could give him that option? So energetically, I'm putting it out there that this horse is totally sound, totally fine. The plate is no issue. It's gone, right?
Okay.
And this was hard for my brain, but I was truly in a desperate moment. And the next day, I went out there, and that horse was walking completely sound. There was no heat over the old scar. His front feet were not in pain. He was standing totally square, whereas he was pointing with his front feet before to take weight off of other areas. And then I kind of got back into my head again and was questioning if this was actually possible. So I had a consultation with a holistic vet who does herbal therapies and rehab techniques. And she was smart enough to tell me not to treat Maestro as a rehab project and to treat him as a sound, healthy horse and to let him be a horse. Go take him for walks, let him eat weeds, let him, you know, self-select herbs that he needs. Don't buy into the fact that he could be lame again. Mentally, I needed to believe that this horse was completely capable of staying sound. And, Kim, it's been nearly a year, and that horse has stayed completely sound ever since.
So, Lizzie, this is a great example of, like, human projection, right? Because I have a similar, well, not a similar story, but where I was projecting something on my horse. And he was reacting based on the way I was projecting. And as soon as I changed, he was a different horse. And so what it was is he can't eat off of round bales because you know, he just inhales all the dust and particles and everything. And so it gives him sinusitis, basically. And he can't, and he starts coughing and all these things. And it's really hard when you're performing. So I had to keep him in, instead of being in a big herd, with the other horses on the round bales, he got to have his own stall with a run. And I felt so bad because I thought that, like, I was putting him in prison, right? You know, he couldn't be with the herd and all this stuff. Well, he was depressed because I was, you know, depressed for him. And as soon as my friend said, well, stop thinking that way. You know, think about it as if he gets special treatment. He still got turnout with the herd. Like, he still got to go out to pasture and all that. It's just he got... You know, he didn't have to eat off the round bales. He got better, you know, hay that wasn't dusty and things. And he got special treatment. So she's like, if you think about it that way, and sure enough, as soon as I did, like the next couple of days, like he totally turned around. He wasn't depressed anymore and all that. I was like, wow, so similar, right? It's like we take these projections, basically, that we have, and we stop them, and we just let them, you know, be a horse or change your attitudes, and it makes a big difference. And I've seen it too with like riding, right? If you are thinking, oh my God, is he going to spook at that? Well, of course he's going to spook at that. Or if there's a history of, oh, he always does this here, then guess what? He's always going to do that there. And so if we take those out and just think, nope, you know, we have walked by that mailbox a million times, not a big deal, and change our attitudes, then it does amazing things. So that's a wonderful, beautiful story, Lizzie. Thank you so much for sharing that. So where can people, wholehorseconsulting.com. I often refer to you for nutritional help as well and, you know, getting the horse balanced with things. What else? We have about 2 minutes. So anything else you want to tell people about yourself?
Yes. With a whole horse consulting and have a one-on-one phone consult, it's really helpful for people who are stuck with chronic problems with their horses. And, you know, it's great to look at the horse not as a problem, not as a special case, but as a teacher, a healer, a guide, a reflection of what's going on with their person, a way of gathering insight about ourselves and helping the horse to fulfill a much bigger purpose than just as a tool or something fun to ride or as a companion. So there's a lot more to horses, and that's what I would like to help people to find and to guide them to solve their own problems with their horses, to be educated in the questions they're going to ask their vet, their nutritionist, their farrier, their trainer, ways to consider the horse's perspective, and also to learn, you know, as a horse owner, what are your gifts? What are your intuitive gifts that you can use as tools to help your own horse, because we all have them. This
we
isn't
do.
Magic. This is just building confidence and sort of extracting those abilities and those natural gifts and talents to help the horse. And our horses, I believe, are given to us each individually for a certain reason. And that
right.
I trust in that completely. My whole herd has given me the most incredible teachings that I've been able to apply to my clients and to share their stories to empower them to believe in what is truly possible versus just what that box is that we know in our brain is possible.
Absolutely. Well, Lizzie, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing that amazing story about Maestro. Really appreciate it. And people can find you at wholehorseconsulting.com. So
that's right.
Thanks so much, Lizzie.
Thank you, Kim.
Have a good one. All right, our next guest is Nancy Zadonis, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Nancy. She is the founder of Tallgrass Animal Acupressure Institute, along with Amy Snow, and she's one of the pioneers in the field of animal acupressure. Over 20 years ago, she worked with a veterinarian and an acupressure practitioner to develop a system to use transpositional acupressure meridians and points for the benefit of horses, and a few years later, for dogs. And through study and careful documentation, Nancy wrote her first books, Equine Acupressure, A Treatment Workbook, and Canine Acupressure, A Treatment Workbook. Nancy went on to develop training clinics for people interested in caring for their horses and dogs using acupressure. She's continued to expand and refine the training programs both online and hands-on and teaches worldwide. And I'm not kidding. Amy and Nancy are world travelers. You can find out more at animalacupressure.com. Nancy, welcome to the show.
Well, hi, Kim. How are you doing? Thank you for that nice intro.
You're welcome. I'm good. And you actually just came back from teaching a class, but I believe you were in the U.S. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes. Yes.
So tell us a little bit, what is acupressure?
Well, acupressure utilizes the same points as acupuncture, and it is an ancient modality of really balancing energy by stimulating specific pressure points on the body, which are also located on meridians, which course through all animals' bodies, humans, fish, birds, horses, and dogs. So in a nutshell, it's a method to allow one to bring a system back into balance, which, of course, then affords the animal the ability to heal.
And so if an animal is sick or injured, then are one of the systems out of balance, or we just go in to make sure that they are in balance? In an injury, for example, we want blood flow to reach the injury.
Yes to both of those. So if an animal has an injury or a system that's not working properly, tendon ligament issue, not like a cut, but something much less minor, by performing acupressure, you can detect where the imbalances are and go ahead and do a preventive treatment to keep things kind of more on the surface. If the longer an imbalance is allowed to exist, it goes deeper into the body and becomes more chronic in nature, which clearly takes longer to resolve. So one thing nice about knowing acupressure is you can keep your horse or dog really in optimal health by knowing where the imbalances are and doing an acupressure session to remove the blockages before it goes further into the body.
So what is the difference between acupressure and acupuncture? I know acupuncture uses the needles and acupressure doesn't, but you're doing basically the same thing?
Exactly.
Without the pokey, needly part?
Without the owie needles.
Right.
And
see,
actually,
I'm liking this already. I'm thinking this is much better.
And actually, when you have acupuncture, I think there's when you do get a needle that hurts, you really did need it there. So,
okay.
Yeah. What's interesting to me is that so to answer your question, the acupuncture and acupressure are basically the same because you're using the same points, you're accessing the energy, releasing the energy, assessing using points and then restoring balance. The difference being the method of stimulation. With acupuncture, clearly one uses needles. With acupressure, you use the soft, sort of fleshy tips of your thumbs, but it still activates the qi energy, which runs through the meridians.
Is it a steady pressure or a pulsing pressure?
It depends on what the situation is. If it's an excess condition, you could use a pulsing motion. If it's a deficiency condition, you could go in more slowly and gently to bring the energy more to the surface. So there's different techniques that would be used, depending on what the animal is exhibiting.
Gotcha. All right.
Nancy, how would you
know? One thing to know is that I'm pretty sure in all states, there might be an exception in the Northwest, I believe it's Oregon, you have to be a veterinarian to perform acupuncture because it does fall under vet medical, the realm of vet medicine.
Right.
But for acupuncture, it's massage and it's not totally non-invasive, so it is a more allowable modality.
And Nancy, there's been a lot of work in getting the ability for your certified practitioners to practice without having a veterinarian present, correct?
That is correct, yes. And in the state of Colorado, which is where our school is located, our school is approved by the Colorado Department of Higher Education, Department of Occupational Schools. So graduates of ours can practice acupressure without a vet referral.
And are you seeing more massage therapists doing the classes than anything?
You know, that's a really good question because in the last large class that we had here in Colorado, which was the beginning of September, I think there were seven students who were already human massage practitioners, and they want to either expand their business or they want to learn it for themselves so they can keep their own agility dogs, say, or performance dogs and horses in good shape for their discipline.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think it dovetails, right? A lot of the holistic modalities, once you kind of start learning some different ones, you can get creative and freestyle almost and working. So I think that they all dovetail well together. And if you know energy healing, then you can apply that with acupressure. And if you know massage, then you can combine, you know, all of them. And they it's amazing how the animals respond.
It's absolutely amazing how the animals respond. And we've so many people say, you know, massage does wonderful things and homeopathy is fantastic, and adding acupressure just gives you one more level that you can add to your already existing skill sets, and they do really support each other, and it gives the practitioner more tools to apply to having the animal feel its best. So I love how everything works together. It's really, really nice.
Me too, and I think that we know that well, right, with any animal, but horses especially. The more tools that you have, the better prepared you are to deal with individual animals, because what works for one doesn't necessarily work for the other. And so having more tools, in your toolbox just gets you better prepared so that you can do what's right for the animal.
Yes, and one thing in most modalities, and acupressure as well, there are points that address emotional issues as well as musculoskeletal system type issues. So it's nice that you're covering both spectrums. It's not just the physicalness of the animal.
Right, because emotional is huge.
I'm sorry. I was just saying, especially with horses, they're such energetic and emotionally wonderful animals.
Absolutely, and the things can get stuck just like, you know, they can for us humans. And so, being able to help them release and let go of that and get things flowing again, it really is huge for them.
Absolutely.
Can I do anything with my crazy cat?
Well, we have a book for cats. And cats are interesting. When they want acupuncture.
I just thought I'd throw that in because we brought it up earlier when it came to nutrition, and we determined that there wasn't much to help them there either. So I wanted to see if there was any help for cats. That's what I'm trying to
Yeah, there really
out.
Is. They can. They'll ask for it, and then when they're done, of course, with everything else with a cat, it's on their terms. So as long as you know that, you're in good shape with acupressure in cats.
Well, Nancy, we were talking with Tigger from BioStar, and she said cats were aliens, and that's why we're all chuckling a little bit, because
okay.
they are so different, and you brought it up. Everything is on their terms and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, your book,
I kind of think, actually, that's why men tend to not get as long as well with cats as women do. See, you guys are used to trying to get along with us. Men,
mm-hmm.
So you're already used to kind of the cat mentality, and we're just figuring that out. So I think that's
okay.
Why it's
I think
my
I'm
determination.
With that one. For the most part, I agree with
you. With that.
So Nancy, what's the changing of the seasons? This is a big one, especially for horses, and sometimes it's hard for people too. You know, with the weather changing, and Colorado is a big one. We have really warm days. We joke about it all the time. It'll be 71 day, and then it's snowing the next day. So in the northern hemisphere, we're going into fall, and in the southern hemisphere, we're going into spring. So I know that you guys have a protocol that's set up that people can follow to help their animals with the transition. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, as you led into this, with the seasonal change, there's, of course, the temperature, the barometric pressure changes. Horses will be doing different kinds of things. They'll be eating less in pasture and more hay feed. So some of the things that can occur, of course, colic. You want to kind of prepare the horse for a more quiet season. And looking at it from a traditional Chinese medical perspective, it's the season for conserving energy and really not so much confining isn't the right word, but lessening activity. So some of the things that you can do, and there's an element that goes along with the winter season, so which is water. So some of the things you can do would be to work or stimulate the source points of the water element. That's a very good thing to do to just help promote that predominant energy during that time of the year. Kidney 3 is a great point to work in terms of boosting qi energy and increasing gastrointestinal activities to their maximum. You could work stomach 36, which is an excellent point for just absolutely overall activity, which I know those points don't mean anything to the majority of people, but I just want to point out that there are specific points that will help your animal in so many different conditions.
Right, and you have charts that are available on your website, which is animalacupressure.com, that people can purchase that have the points listed on there.
That's
you
correct.
Have a horse chart, dog chart, and a cat chart. So
mm-hmm.
that is available. And you also, both you and Amy, have written gazillions of articles for major horse magazines. So we've got Equine Wellness, Natural Horse Magazine, and Holistic Horse are the top three that I'm aware of that have articles that you both have written that they could, you know, do an internet search. And do you have articles on your website as well that they could search?
We have some articles on our website and on our homepage now. We have our two most current articles that are available. So, as you said, people can go to animalacupressure.com and find those articles.
Okay, great. What else? And what is it, other than just, you know, the change in the weather and the barometric pressure, what is it about the seasons? Why is it harder for the horses in the changing of the seasons?
I don't know that I would say it's necessarily. It's not so much that it's harder, but there are activities that you can do and acupressure protocols that you can perform that help make the transition more smoothly. So it's just like with, you know, farmers, people who live more in tune with nature, they'll go to bed earlier, they might wake up a little bit later. So it's just sort of a changing overall of environment that occurs that is very helpful to the animal. It's just being more in tune with the seasons of the year. So again, the points that you could work would be some of the winter points and the source points. I'm not sure that's really answering the question exactly, but you know, just normal kinds of horse tending activities that change during the seasons.
Well, I think that you brought it up too. I mean, taking horses off of pasture and, you know, switching from that to grass, to hay and things that's, and being more confined. If they're not, you know, roaming around on pasture, they're more in a pen. It's a big shift. And as the days are growing shorter, you know, the night hours are getting longer, we do tend to come more inside, and it is more of an internal process. I know through some of the yoga classes that I've taken, we focus on that.
Another situation might be if the horses are, again, inside more than outside. In some situations that does have to happen, you could perform acupressure to help strengthen the lungs where they're, because the horse might be more in a barn where they're not getting as fresh of air, or they're breathing air that has particles in it that they're not used to. Maybe they're eating from a hay bin rather than off the ground. So,
right.
You know, you just have to sort of look at the whole environmental change that's going on and then identify which protocol for acupressure would be appropriate based on the changes that are being made for that particular horse.
That makes sense. So do you have some stories about, you know, or case studies that you're able to share where acupressure has made a difference?
Well, when we first started with acupressure 25 years ago, and equines, I think you made mention of this, we did work with a veterinarian, still continue to work with many, many vets, both locally and afield. But we used to get horses that were very much kind of the last resort. Having an acupressure session was the last resort for people.
Right.
And once people kind of caught on to the fact that, wow, there's not only more that I could be doing that's, one, less invasive, two, that I could be helping my animal ongoingly, there was really a shift that took place maybe, I'd say, 8 to 10 years ago, where people are tremendously much more open after seeing some very incredible situations where horses were scheduled to be put down. And people, and this isn't just us doing acupressure, it's the hundreds of practitioners we have worldwide who have made huge impacts on the health and well-being of animals. I know in one situation, this was years ago, the horse was going to be euthanized. And we came out, the woman just couldn't stand to part with her. She'd been in a cart accident, and there were really severe injuries. And the vet said, well, she'll never be able to walk normally again, and she won't be, you know, there's just no sense keeping her alive. So the woman had us out. We did a series of 7 sessions and then showed the woman, and this is critical, acupressure work that she could be doing ongoingly with the horse. And although the horse never returned to being a riding mount, she lived another 8 or 9 years as a very happy horse in pasture. And the woman was pleased that the horse wasn't just given up on. Situations where people are going into or have just completed a show and their animal comes up lame and they've been worked with over a period of time, and they're back to competing. So the stories could go on and on. But
right.
I think for me, there's a lot of really kind of dramatic instances where acupressure and other modalities have just made a huge difference immediately. But I think for me, the real importance of acupressure and any of the other modalities is kind of changing people's mindset to, I have other options. These options may take some time to happen, to perform what I would want my horse to be. But it's a way for people to participate in health and well-being, and I think it's shifting the consciousness of humans and how they view their own health and well-being as well. And that's what I see as the importance of acupressure with any animal.
Absolutely. I've seen that too. You know, it's like they start with their animals. They want to make a difference. They want their animals to be healthier. And then they start to look at themselves. And
yeah.
I think one thing that is important too is to for people to understand, because you brought up an excellent point, Nancy. Often the holistic modalities, working with an animal communicator, we are the last resort. It's like they've tried everything
mm-hmm.
else, nothing else works, so they're like, I have nothing to lose, let's try it. And it
yeah.
does make a difference. But also to caveat that, you know, one session sometimes is not enough. Like it's... We've seen amazing, amazing results with everything, but miracles don't happen overnight every day. So
right.
being patient, you know, because it does take time, and oftentimes, especially like with the animals too, it's peeling the layers of the onion, you know, and you get one layer off, and then you work on the next one, and then you work on the next one. So in your first example, you had said it took 7 sessions. And
mm-hmm.
for people to understand that, because sometimes they're so frustrated that they try it and they expect the one session to be the end-all, be-all, and it fixes everything, and it doesn't always happen that way.
Exactly, and you stated that very nicely. And one of the things in acupressure, really in traditional Chinese medicine, is Western medicine is more like, well, let's give them a pill, and it'll have a very large impact on the body, and in some instances, that's incredible, such as with antibiotics when they're used properly. You obviously are doing a lot of good, as long as other things happen. But in Chinese medicine, it's more like rather than whamming the body and having it go from a 45-degree angle over to a 90-degree angle, you just with TCM, you just nudge things back on track so that it's not another huge shock to the system.
Okay.
If that makes sense. So it's just sort of this gentle guiding we're getting back to, and the analogy of peeling layers off of an onion is exactly what that lends itself to. It's not like taking a knife, cutting to the core. you're taking
right.
one layer off, so it's a nudge. It's important, I think, for people to know that, because then so much of our society is, oh, quick gratification, da-da-da-da. And that's a little bit overused, but if we can get our mindset back to let's take some time, let's eat slowly, let's whatever, you know, let things in a more natural state, I think that's extremely helpful for human mindset and definitely animals.
I think so, too, and that's something I'm guilty of that I've been working on is I eat so quick because I'm just so busy and I don't make the time. But I've been working
mm-hmm.
better on eating slower, and it does make a huge difference in how my body processes things and stuff. So I'm getting better at it.
Yay!
Exactly. Okay, well, Nancy, people can find you at animalacupressure.com, and you have online courses that people can take. You have information that they can read. You have classes throughout the world, and you have many... besides yourself and Amy, you have other teachers out there that are teaching the classes. Is there anything else that you want people to know?
Well, I'm going to do a shameless plug for our class that we have coming up in Ohio in October. That's the 4th and 5th outside of Columbus. And then in Texas, we'll be having an equine acupressure class as well at Dr. Ward's facility. And what I'd like people to know is to take time and learn about acupressure and other modalities so that you can be more instrumental in your animal's health and well-being, which in turn will, I think, really bolster your own health and shift your thinking to kind of more long-term. That's an important aspect for me in life these days.
I like that, and I'm going to add to that and say that it's going to also improve your relationship with your animals.
Absolutely. Yes.
Well, Nancy, thank you so much for being on the show. Appreciate it very much. Wealth of information, and you guys are doing great work, so appreciate all that you're doing. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and same to you, and we will talk with you soon.
Sounds good. Please tell Amy I said hi.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Take care. So, Glenn, what do you think? You ready to try some acupressure on your great cat?
It made me want to call my massage therapist and go get a massage today is what it really made me want to do. It was like, oh. All that talk about massages and stuff is like, oh, man, I got to go today.
It's good stuff. I will tell you, I have Amy and Nancy are wonderful, wonderful ladies. They have so much information to share, and I have used some acupressure on my horses as well. I have the horse charts, I have the cat book, and it's good stuff. So as I mentioned before, you know, sometimes this is new for people, and they're like, this is kind of woo-woo-y junk, but just go with an open mind, you know. And
I learned a lot about it over the last couple of years working with Dr. Wendy Ying, who hosts the Driving Radio Show. Because
uh-huh.
She's a veterinarian and a traditional Chinese medicine doctor. So she's been doing segments on acupressure, acupuncture, the meridians, and all of that stuff. So I've learned so much from her about all of this. And she also practices, you know, traditional veterinary work as well. So, you know, she combines the two to give it the whole approach. Which makes her, a unique specimen out there, actually.
Yeah, and I like that as well. I like blending, you know, traditional with alternative. And what's funny?
Because sometimes you need an antibiotic, right? I mean, it's just going to be that way, right?
Right. It's true.
Yeah.
But what we call alternative, like traditional, it really the alternative has been around for thousands and thousands.
That's
thousands
right. You're
years.
Right. Actually, it's the other way around. If you want to be technical about it,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
you're right.
So,
I never thought about it that way.
And one thing that I really want to point out too is nothing is one size fits all. So each horse, each dog, each cat, each person is an individual. And what works for one may not work for the other. And like we've mentioned before, you know, the more tools that you have in your toolkit, the better prepared you are to be able to address anything and help the individual animal and what they specifically, he or she specifically needs.
Well, very good. Thank you, Kim. Interesting guest today. And, of course, you can hear Kim's show. If you missed the first one, you can go back to horsesinthemorning.com. And you can find it there. You can also go to Kim's website. What's your website again?
KimBakerShow.com.
And also on Facebook at Kim Baker Show is where you'll find her. Before we wrap things up here today, I did want to mention that tomorrow morning, of course, Horses in the Morning is here every morning, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And then, of course, you can catch the recorded show later on our app, our phone app, or at horsesinthemorning.com. And we have our Friday show tomorrow, and that means it's really bad ads day. So Jennifer told me earlier this morning that she does need some new really bad ads. So get onto Craigslist and get searching for those really bad horse or dog or cow or chicken really bad ad and send it over to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put really bad ads in the subject line and copy and paste the entire ad into the email. And we will be doing that on tomorrow's show. So we'll look forward to that. And I guess that's about it on my end. That's all announcements I have.
Okay. Well, that sounds like fun tomorrow. And I'd like to thank our show sponsors, which are BioStar US, authentic whole food nutrition for horses and dogs, Kiwi Natural Horsemanship, building quality partnerships and lasting relationships from the ground up, Kim Baker Animal Communicator, Animals Talks,
animals talk, she listens. What does your animal have to say? Be sure to like us on Facebook at The Kim Baker Show. You can also follow us on Twitter at Kim Baker Show. And our horse wisdom message for this month is, trust is not built overnight. And our closing prayer is, may there be peace in your spirit, peace in your heart, peace in your life, and may there be peace on earth. Namaste. Thank you so much for listening. You all have a great rest of your day.